Today we're talking about the five reasons why the INFJ is first admired, but then ghosted. It's this hot and cold experience that drives us INFJs crazy because most of the time we have no idea what happened. We feel like somebody wants to hang out with us, they want to spend so much time with us, they're invested in this relationship in any kind of way. So this can be romantic, this can be a friendship, and out of nowhere it seems the other person is either distancing themselves, they're ghosting us, and for us it comes out of the blue. So today we're talking about what is really going on here. What are the five reasons the INFJ gets first admired and then ghosted? And most importantly, we're going to look behind the curtain and understand if this is something that we have caused. Is this something that we should even care about? And how to use all of that information moving forward. Before we get started, I want to remind you the INFJ Epic Life Bootcamp is launching tomorrow, January 27th. So make sure you're on that waiting list to get access to the early bird prize and join us in our free masterclass here on YouTube tomorrow, January 27th. Everything you need to know, you can find in the links in the description. Reason number one, the INFJ is the perfect projection. Most of the time as INFJs, if we go through life and we meet new people, we always take a step back. Why are we doing this? Well, mainly because we love to observe. We're people who like to sit back and experience a situation. We like to experience other people. And because of that, we're not putting our energy to the forefront. On top of that, we like to give people the opportunity to be themselves. We make room for them. Most people are not able to create this experience for others. So it's a win-win situation for us. We love to observe, and at the same time, other people feel like they can be completely themselves because we make room for them. The tricky part here is, though, that because we don't really put out any energy, people can project onto us whatever they like. This is neither good or bad, it's just something that we as INFJs have to understand. If you are coming across as understanding, you're really there for other people, you're welcoming, you're open, but at the same time you're not putting out any other energy that another person has to compromise on, they have the opportunity to see in you whatever they want to see. And so naturally, they project everything onto you that they possibly could. This, of course, happens on a subconscious level, but if you show up as somebody who is non-threatening, somebody who's kind, somebody who's understanding, somebody who's open, of course, people are going to project onto you the version that they would like to see in you. So it's a very positive version from the other person's perspective. This is who you could be. Maybe the person they have been looking for their entire life. Maybe the perfect friend who could be at their side and support them in anything they want. This is the kind of experience INFJs have so often that people see them and they have some instant connection with us INFJs. What we INFJs forget though at this moment is that person has actually no idea who you are. They're projecting onto you who they want you to be. And that's the version they like. They don't like you in particular because they haven't even gotten to know you yet. No matter how much you take that as like a confirmation of you're doing a good job, remember, it's just their projection that they're liking so much because they don't know you yet. Not only because they've just met you, but on top of that, because you haven't really shown them the sides of you that they might not like. Reason number two why the INFJ gets first admired but then ghosted is because we as INFJs are safe. We feel safe, at least. That's how it is to other people. The reason for this is because our energy is very distant. You can compare this, for example, to a celebrity. Let's say there are celebrities and they have fans. The fan feels safe to admire that celebrity because that celebrity is distant to them. They're not going to push against their ego. They're not going to make them uncomfortable. It would be something completely different if that celebrity came down to earth. So imagine there's somebody who has a crush on a celebrity. They can express that crush. They can say, oh, I love her or I love him and that person is so great because that person is safe. The moment that real person would step into your life and would show any interest in you, let's say romantic or friendship-wise or whatever it may be, the tables turn, right? Because then there's a danger. There's a danger to the ego. There is this moment of, am I going to be good enough? Am I measuring up? How is that entire interaction happening? That being said, I'm not here telling you INFJs are like celebrities. Nothing like that. What I'm saying though is, imagine the kind of energy that feels safe because that celebrity or that person that people just know from afar, that kind of energy that feels safe That's how a lot of people feel towards INFJs. And why do they feel this way? Because our energy is very distant. We're very good at making people feel seen, making people feel loved, making people feel appreciated, but doing that always with a little bit more of an observing side, with a little bit more of a distant side. And that's just the energy that we portray. We're introverts. We're also people who like to express from afar. So people will perceive the INFJ always with a sense of distance, and that makes the INFJ feel safe. And every time somebody feels safe, it's really easy for a person to admire them. So not only does the INFJ represent everything the other person wants in that moment because they can project everything onto us, it also feels safe to project. It feels easy to put admiration towards the INFJ because it feels like there's nothing that can really happen because psychologically speaking, the INFJ comes to you from a distance. Reason number three, the INFJ is extremely empathetic. So although we talked about the fact that the INFJ comes across as safe because they're approaching you from a distance, this is all about the INFJ's energy. Is it dangerous? They don't know that yet. Most of all, the INFJ's energy is a little bit more distant. But when it comes to being empathetic, it's all about the other person. We are very good at reading other people because of all of the qualities we already mentioned. So we understand what they're looking for, what their insecurities are. We pick up on that really, really quickly and can be there for other people. So on top of everything, they actually feel seen around us. They feel safe, they feel seen, they feel understood. And that in itself makes people admire the INFJ even more because now they've met somebody who seemingly has all of those positive qualities without being any danger to them. All of those conclusions that another person has shortly after having met an INFJ, they're not happening on a conscious level. This is all subconscious, but it is still happening. And every one of us has experienced this to some kind of extent. Maybe some of us have been hugely admired, others barely, but we all know this warm and cold dynamic, and that's what it's all about. So when it comes to who we truly are, in the beginning, when people are just getting to know us and they have a positive interaction with us, they are probably more likely to come from that end of the INFJ is safe, the INFJ is very empathetic, the INFJ is somebody that is exactly who I'm looking for. Reason number four, and now is the point when the table turns. The INFJ actually has some kind of interest back in that person. So again, this is not just about romantic relationships. This can be a business partnership. This can be a friendship. This can be a coworker that you want to hang out. At one point, the INFJ really gets to a place where they say, okay, I have understood enough about this person and I actually like them. It makes me feel good to be around them. So what does the INFJ want in that moment? They want to be seen as well. That is just human, and that's what the INFJ is. The INFJ is a human, and that's what's happening in that moment. The INFJ turns human, meaning the INFJ has needs. The INFJ shows some parts of them who are really, truly themselves, that are not just like this blank canvas that everything can be projected onto. It is the natural next step for an INFJ. This doesn't happen if the INFJ never has any interest in meeting the person again or having a deeper connection with them or whatever it may be. So all of those situations where somebody, you know, first admires the INFJ and then ghosts them, there's also been a switch in the INFJ's intention in that moment. See, when we meet somebody for the first time, we don't have any bad intentions. We're not going out of our way to manipulate other people to like us. That's just our natural go-to energy because we want to make another person feel good. Right? We don't really think it through. We don't have any bad intentions. Like, this happens with a pure heart in that moment. What we don't recognize, though, is that it is a facade. And that doesn't mean that we have to give up that facade at all times. Not at all. Not everybody needs and is allowed to get to know you as an INFJ all the way. Like, that's totally fine. But it's in those moments when we actually say, I want to take it a step further. I want that person to get to know me. I want to create a deeper connection. I have interest in another person. That's when things get tricky. Because the INFJ isn't the person who the other person thought they were. They aren't as understanding as the other person thought. They aren't as selfless as the other person thought. And so this is also a huge dilemma for us INFJs because very often when we get to this stage, we feel like we have to prove even more that we had good intentions. because we did. We're not that mean person that we just kept hidden and now it comes out. But at the end of the day, we're human like everybody else, meaning we have feelings, we have things that we want for ourselves, we have needs. We're not completely selfless. We may show up as martyrs, but in the end of the day, we also need to take care of ourselves. And at one point or another, those wishes will come out. And that's when the other person sees, oh, the INFJ isn't the person that I thought they were. They aren't as understanding, they aren't as empathetic. And more than that, they feel betrayed because it seems to them that you have played a role. When in the end, you haven't. It has been them who projected something onto you. You just haven't revealed who you truly are yet, which is totally fine. But it's in that moment that people get really aggravated, that people get angry because they feel like something has shifted. They are reminded of all the things they hoped they would find within you and you fall short of that. So the first thing that comes to mind to a lot of people in that situation is I need to pull up the INFJ off that pedestal. This is something they do to protect their ego. So again, this is happening on a subconscious level. But the person that they felt so safe with, the person that they sort of felt like they, you know, showed them their vulnerable sides, they allowed the INFJ closer psychologically than they allowed most people. And now they see that wasn't a safe move because that person isn't who I thought they were. So it's this shock of a system that makes a lot of people try to tear the INFJ down so they feel more powerful in comparison. Reason number 5, the other person recognizes how powerful the INFJ actually is. Because what do most INFJs do in this situation? We actually try to convince the other person that we had no bad intentions, that they're completely safe around us, that they shouldn't worry, that there is no reason for them to defend themselves. And how does that make the other person feel? That makes them feel even weaker. Because this in itself already shows how powerful the INFJ is in that situation, right? We're talking about psychological power. We're talking about being of the mindset of, I'm not going to get triggered by my emotions. So the other person doubles down on their strategy because the other person sees, oh, I tried to tear the INFJ off of their pedestal and it seems like it doesn't even bother them. They're still trying to protect me. Like, that is so condescending. That does not make me feel good. What am I going to do? I'm going to show them how little I need them. I'm going to show them how unimportant they are to me. And so what do a lot of people do? They ghost the INFJ. And for us INFJ, this has all happened without us understanding why. Right? We go into it with great intentions. We're trying to be our best version. We're trying to be there for the other person. And the only thing we did is that we became ourselves. That we had some kind of intention of, oh, I actually want the person to get to know me a little bit better. I want to get a little bit closer to them psychologically from my perspective. I don't want to be only in their world. I also want them to get to know me a little bit. And that's what I'm getting. And the more INFJs experience this, the more we get this idea of there's something wrong with me. And I have this really dark side and it's really scary and people don't want to have anything to do with it. And so it becomes like this vicious cycle that makes INFJs feel bad. And on top of that, we very often get into those situations over and over again just with another person because we're trying to fix something that has happened in the past. But it's just not going to work because the people who react like this will always react this way because they have insecurities that you just can't fix. But if we as INFJs still have this chip on our shoulders of I need to prove to others that I have good intentions, that I am a good person, we're always going to be attracted to people who mirror back to us exactly our biggest insecurities, which are, you know, I am not good enough. I am a bad person. It's wrong of me to want things for myself. And so what do we learn from this entire situation? Well, first off, I feel for you. I've been in this situation more times than I can count and starting off at a very young age. So I'm talking about like 12 years old is the first time I can actually remember a situation like this. And so I know the pain that comes with it. I know the insecurities that come with this. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't have to be like this. Because once you understand the dynamic behind it, you also learn that it's okay for me not to reveal exactly who I am, but I'm not going to get out of my way to make another person comfortable if that means that I have to keep myself small. I'm never ever doing this again. I like to help people. I like to make people feel good, but I'm not going to do that if it means that I have to dim my own light. And if you keep this in mind, and if this becomes a rule of yours, you will know that people won't admire you the way they used to. They won't put you on pedestals like they used to, and they won't tear you down like they used to. Because if you show up sooner and more evidently like who you truly are, people are going to be less able to project onto you, right? You're not going to be a blank canvas anymore. And so with this, you're taking away the opportunity for people to admire you. And this is a price that we have to pay, because if people admire you or not, in the end, has nothing to do with you. It's a skill that we have. It is not really about you. If you want to go out into the world and say, I want to be liked for who I am, and I'd rather be disliked for who I am than to be liked for somebody I'm not, you're going to see that you will grow very comfortable with that situation. And so since I've made that decision for myself, people haven't been admiring me the way they used to. People haven't put me on pedestals the way they used to. And they've also not torn me down off of a pedestal. We as INFJs have to learn that to be liked, to be disliked, in the end has nothing to do with us. If we want to feel good about ourselves, then we have to prove to ourselves that we're taking care of ourselves, that we already know that we're valuable, and therefore do good things for us and our future. And that's what the INFJ Bootcamp is all about. Learning how to love your own journey, honing in on your own energy, and making that bigger and bigger so you create a win-win situation where your cup of energy is overflowing, and what you give to the outside, what you give to other people, always happens from a place of I'm being my best and most real version that I can possibly be. I hope I see many of you in our new bootcamp round. Remember, we launch tomorrow. That's when we also have a free masterclass here on YouTube. You'll find all the information in the links in the description. And if you want to watch another video now that is in alignment with today's topic, then watch the video you see on the screen right now. I see you in the next one. Bye, guys.